The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
If you have any questions about barbecue suggestions, or actually any butchering questions in general, if you've always been too shy to say to your butcher, what's the difference between a porterhouse and a T-bone, or is there one? Now is the moment. Fling them into 53106, because I'm joined by Rick Higgins of Higgins Family Butchers and by Mike Tweedy, who is the Adair Manor Oak Room head chef. Rick, let me start with you. The reason that you're here is you are doing a thing in aid of the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland on the 20th of July, where you are dragging together people like Donald Skehan, Mark Moriarty, Mike Tweedy, basically all the great and the good of the Irish culinary world. It's in aid of the Alzheimer's Society. Why the Alzheimer's Society?
So over the last number of years, we've been really heavily supported, and I wanted to give something back. I decided to partner with the Alzheimer's Society because I have family reasons for doing it. So that was the thinking behind that. So we wanted to put together a smallish barbecue event to raise some funds for them.
What have you a target? Do you know how much you're aiming to raise?
No, we still don't have a target. The more the merrier. But it was to be a small event, a smallish event. And what started off as a small event has now snowballed because of the generosity of all of these people that are getting involved. It's amazing.
The people that are getting involved, Shane Lowry?
Shane Lowry has donated a signed British Open flag. So we will be running a raffle. Keane Healy has gotten the whole Irish team to sign a rugby jersey for us. We have a signed Dubs jersey. We have Kamado Bono barbecues. We have bespoke handmade chef's knives. We've all sorts going on.
And are you going to actually be, there will be eating and cooking at this thing?
Yes, so there's going to be 8 different types of barbecue stations. One of them is a big, huge smoker where we'll be doing beef short ribs. We'll be doing pork collars for pulled pork. We have full hog roasts. We have the ceramic Kamado Bonos going. Kenny Maguire also generously jumped on board. He's donated a full-size demo kitchen. So Mike is going to get up to do a demo. Donald Skehan is going to do a demo. Mark Moriarty is going to do a demo. Arinta Coe is going to do a demo. The support and generosity from people is unbelievable.
Mike, this is a good point to bring you in. Mike Tweedy from Adair Manor. Have you decided at this point what you're going to be cooking at this demo, Mike?
Well, I'm 50-50 at the moment, but I think we're going to do a nice little lobster prawn cocktail with caviar. And we might do a little grilled lobster with a little sauce chiron, we're thinking of. So,
what's a sauce chiron?
It's a take on hollandaise, so it's a tomato hollandaise, essentially.
Well, it's good that you're doing something easy for the people. So, would you not have done a slightly lower, like if you did a drawn butter, do you know, it can't go wrong for you. You're going to do a hollandaise on the fly with an audience.
Yeah, you might as well go all out. You know, it's actually quite easy to do once you've got all your mise en place ready. It's actually very easy to do.
No, it's not.
So can I just say about Mike? Mike was one of the first people that reached out and said to me, I know Mike well, but he reached out and said to me, listen, how can I help? Mike's based in Limerick. And I said to him, listen, give a little plug on social media. And he said, no, I'm not sitting on the sidelines. I'm coming up for the day. I'm going to cook at it. And that was the start of the snowballing.
Well, fair play to you, Mike. Mike, give us a sense of what it's like cooking in Adair Manor, because there are obviously chefs who find themselves in a position where they say, well, given the area that I'm in, I have to limit my horizons to match the market of the town or community. I assume in Adair Manor, there isn't much in the way of constraints in what you want to cook.
No, we cook what we with the best Irish ingredients we can get. And that's the way our thinking is that it's all about product led, and it's great to be working with people like Rick who understand products and understand what we're trying to achieve. So it just makes our life a lot easier when we're working with people like Rick. And we don't really hold ourselves back, really, to be honest. We just cook what we want to cook, and it makes the guests are happy.
And you've spent some time, you've cooked around the world. You spent time in the UK. Were you in the Middle East for a while?
No, I met my current director in the Middle East, but I've worked in the UK. I've worked in 2-1 Michelin star restaurants in the UK. Obviously, I've been at Adair now for 7 years.
And how do we compare? Because, I mean, there was a time when we were a country mile behind the UK. Those days seem to be gone now. Is the quality of produce and the quality of cooking the same here now as there?
Oh, 100%. If not, it'd be better soon. I don't doubt that in a heartbeat that we're going to be better than the UK and Scotland and stuff. The produce here is unbelievable. The fish we have is second to none. Like, it's you know, you don't get that much better fish and meat around this world, well, around this country, sorry.
So what about the third Michelin star? We've been knocking around that now for some time. We've had a series of two Michelin star restaurants. There's one, obviously, we don't necessarily need to name it, that's been tipped very much for it. Are we ever going to land it?
I think so. It's only a matter of time. It's one of them things. It's no one really knows the answer. I guess as chefs, we all want to, we'd love to see it because it's great for the country. And it's you know, we're really then, I suppose, stamping our mark on the culinary world. And I think, look, it's going to happen, whether it be next year, 5 years, it's going to happen eventually.
We have a lot of questions coming in, and thankfully they actually overlap with both of your areas of expertise. So let me start with the one, Rick, that's squarely in your bailiwick. What's the difference between a housekeeper's cut and a rib roast? First of all, what is a housekeeper's cut? This has annoyed me for years.
A housekeeper's cut comes off the shoulder. It's a real... it's a real 80s and 90s cut. It's not really popular anymore. It needs to be done really low and slow. A rib roast, so... Traditionally, a rib roast obviously came off the rib, but it also had the cap on it. That has kind of phased out. Now it's a ribeye roast. So we actually take the cap off the rib now, and we just serve the ribeye roast. The cap then goes into our ribeye burgers.
So the rib roast, if you cut it up, becomes ribeye steaks,
correct.
Effectively.
Yeah.
The housekeeper's cut, though, shoulder, not rib.
Yeah, housekeeper's cut is it's
and hence the name cheapest chips, I assume, back in the day. Is that what it was?
Absolutely, yeah.
Another one, guys. I have a 1 kilo tomahawk steak frozen in the freezer for over 2 years. Is it okay to eat it? And how should I cook it? Knocking around the freezer for 2 years, Rick. Is there a point where you'd say I'd let that one go?
Yeah, probably. I would probably let that one go.
Well, let's imagine then, Mike, that was slightly younger and it hadn't been there for 2 years. What about the second part of it? Are you a believer that you can whip them straight out of the freezer and into the pan, or do you waste all your time defrosting?
No, like you can cook meat and fish from the fridge. You have to let it temper. You have to let it come up just to, you know, room temperature a little bit, and half an hour, 45 minutes outside the fridge, and then cook it, because I find that you don't get an equal cooking through the meat or the fish. So we would always temper our meat just before service, and just allow for us a better even cooking, really.
So for a 1 kilo tomahawk, 1 kilo is massive for a single steak. Would you split that up, or would you just cook it as one giant lump?
I think if you chuck it on the barbecue, you take it to about 48 degrees. If, you know, stick a probe in it, that's the safest way, guarantee that you're going to get like a medium rare. Take it to 48 and then a really good rest, like probably a 15-minute rest, to be honest.
Before you actually start hacking into it.
Yeah, you need to rest. You need to retain all them juices into the meat, really. So otherwise, you're just wasting your time cooking a big steak like that and then not resting it properly. You won't enjoy it.
Another one for the pair of you. I have three kids. We want to have a barbecue before the end of the summer. What are good things to put on the barbecue for kids?
I recently done one. So I have four kids at home. Recently done one or suggested I was going to do a barbecue, and my kid said to me, "Listen, Dad, don't bring home any of that fancy stuff. We want sausages. We want burgers." and they sat down. They ate it, and they really, really enjoyed it. So with kids, keep it simple.
What do you think, Mike?
I don't have any kids, so for me, I guess, again, like Rick said, it's keeping it simple. It's really just sausages and maybe chicken skewers and stuff like that. Don't try and force feed them fancy stuff they're not going to enjoy.
See, I'm always a fan. When I go to somebody else's barbecue, I worry when I see both sausages and chicken, because I think that's going to be a trip to the ER. Whereas if it's a steak, I'll probably be all right. Another one asks, what's a good dessert to go with the barbecue? There's one for you, Mike. This will have to drag you away from your sabayons and all that crack. What can we do simple and easy to go with the barbecue?
A good dessert. Being English, I like an eat a mess. It's a good, easy dessert. It's whipped cream, it's strawberries, it's meringue that you can buy from the supermarket. It's so quick and handy to knock up, and it doesn't have to look pretty because it's an eat a mess. So that would be my go-to dessert if I had to really knock one up on the fly, like.
And will it stay in the fridge if you mix it all up?
Yeah. And like, you could literally, you can put all that together last minute. You can have, you know, you can buy whipped cream at the end of the day. You have the meringue already made and literally just fold it all together. That's it. Done.
Genius. Another one. Hi guys, I recently heard about a spider steak. Interested to know if it's worth buying and where does it sit in terms of price towards other steaks?
Spider steak is quite cheap. It's a really, not many people know about it. So it sits on what's called the H-bone. So the H-bone is the hip bone. So as the carcass is split, it exposes the spider steak. So there's two per animal and they would weigh probably about 300 to 400 grams each, so 800 grams in total per beast. But quick high heat on the barbecue, sliced thinly, amazing. Flavor's amazing.
Well, that goes to another one which asks, what's Rick's favourite cut of beef?
For me, when I'm barbecuing at home, I love a steak on the barbecue, and I don't cook steak any other way now. I go out in the rain and I like the barbecue, so ribeye steak is for me always a winner.
Really, not a hanger?
I love hanger as well, but for steak and chips, ribeye all day long.
You can park yourself for a second, Rick, because this has nothing to do with you. This next one, listener wants to know, what's a good fish for the barbecue, and how should it be cooked?
Oh, a good fish. I would always go with something that you can cook on the bone and treat it like a piece of meat. So we get some lovely, if I do a barbecue here, I'll get some lovely baby monkfish tails from our supplier down in Doombeg. Or some turbot on the bone, really good fish to just put on the barbecue. Doesn't take too long. Fish that's on the bone, that you can cook on the bone. So monkfish tails, turbot, brill, halibut. You can cook salmon on the bone. Salmon's not bad on the barbecue, but I tend to find if I'm doing it at home, I would also pick something that I can cook on the bone. It's just a lot easier, really.
And do you put any stock in this thing of wrapping them in wet newspaper? I've seen people doing it. It just looks like an awful lot of effort.
You could wrap it in seaweed. You could brush it with you can make Thai butter. You could, or curry butter. You can, to be honest, fish is quite versatile. And when you choose a meaty fish, you can almost treat it like a piece of meat. So you can pretty much slather on whatever you want onto the fish, really.
Rick is feeling all left out, so I'll throw one at him.
Make a question. You agree.
a quick one. Your view on parboiling chicken before you put it on the barbecue?
It's a good idea, I suppose, to make sure it's cooked all the way through. But nowadays, like, a temperature probe is essential. If you have a temperature probe, you won't need to do any.
And they're cheap now. You can get temperature probes for 15 quid.
Yeah. I use one at home. I think it cost me 30 quid. It's a Bluetooth one.
Oh, la-di-da.
30 quid was the best 30 quid I ever spent, because unlike Mike, I'm not a chef. I'm a butcher. So I have ruined pieces of meat on the barbecue before.
The event, if people want to find out more, Rick, where do they go?
Go to my social media pages on Instagram, Higgins_butchers, on X, at Higgins Butchers. Everything's posted there. It's happening on the 20th of July in the Marine Hotel in Sutton Cross. It's going to be a great day. 100% of the proceeds are being donated to Alzheimer's Ireland. And I just want to make a quick mention to it's not only me organising. We have a team working in the background and they are all amazing.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. And likewise, Mike, genuine pleasure to talk to you. That is Mike Tweedy, who is from Adair Manor's The Oak Room Head Chef.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.